Paul?
Yeah. Three times the maiden.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating right now is a 1, celebrating with a little vodka. Finally, as we've been tweeting, slowly but surely, this team is getting a little closer and a little closer to being on the right side of wherever the ball is going to bounce. Winning a football game is great. Winning in the Dome is better. Winning in the Dome on Sunday night is even better. Winning in the Dome against the Cowboys with an 80-yard touchdown pass in overtime on Sunday night has to be one of the best. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds in at all times. Enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm a 0, but I am drinking a beer, so I'll probably get up to a 1, I suppose.
All right. Damon, welcome to the show. Thanks for helping write the intro.
I see that.
What's your number?
0.
As is, of course, the tradition.
Alrighty. Well, I appreciate you guys not stealing the game recap so that we can jump as fast as I think we've ever jumped into game recap. And with that, the Saints get their first win of the season against the Dallas Cowboys in overtime. You guys were there. What was the atmosphere in the Dome going into overtime?
I thought the crowd was pretty decent overall. Look, the crowds weren't like they had been in the past few years. There's no doubt about that.
They were probably a little leery because they hadn't won in, what, 6 games?
6 games in the Dome, correct.
Yeah, sure.
So the team has to earn their trust back.
I guess. I mean, I'm as loud as I always am.
You know, walking to the Dome, we got there a little early. A lot of tailgating going on. The atmosphere outside the Dome was...
Yeah, I could have been one of those festive. Walking a little early. Thanks a lot, Doug. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. But, you know, that atmosphere...
He's the Butters of the Dome Patrol podcast.
Butters, what the fuck? Sorry, my arms hurt. My arms hurt! Pick the fucking sign up, Butters! This is a business!
I was going to say, I saw Kendall tailgated, like, all day. Like, very proud of you, Kendall. I can't do that shit anymore.
Very proud of you, Kendall.
I mean,
was he in the standard, his same spot?
Same spot. I saw a picture. He had like fuck the and the Dallas Star like painted on his forehead.
Wow.
But I just can't. I can't do that anymore. I guess it's the old man in me. I don't particularly care for the night games anymore.
That's it exactly.
That's, you know, I love your new sex tape.
The old man and me.
Jeez.
Oh my!
Wow, not my sex tape.
Well, I want to hear more about that. A lot of Cowboys fans, which isn't abnormal. Cowboys fans, they travel well, and actually, I mean, they're Cowboys fans just everywhere you go. But one of the things that disappointed me, and Jason will agree with this, you know, when you have season tickets to a team. Be it Pelicans, LSU, you know, Saints, you get to know the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people. And I can count, there's probably 20 people in my section that you know. Some of them you don't know by name, but you recognize these people always. You know, there's about 20 of them. Out of those 20, literally only 4 showed up for that game. Us and a guy across the aisle from us, who we call the crazy guy.
I remember him.
You know, right. Yeah. So, I mean, but literally 16 out of the 20 people that I see I've seen every, you know, Sunday.
So, do they sell to Dallas people? Or?
Well, luckily.
No, they sell to the highest bidder, right?
Correct. Luckily, there was only 2 Dallas fans out of those 16, and they happened to be right behind me. And it was a male and female. And
so you could punch him.
Well, I thought about telling the female. I said, you know, you're going to get your boyfriend's ass kicked. You do know that. Yeah. And as men, we've all been there before where our ladies, you know.
Mouthy.
Right, right. Because they're not afraid of getting hit, you know. So. But, and I get, and at the end of the day, that they were gracious. But just, you know, we're in the dome. None of us are happy going in. We don't play well for three quarters, you know. And you just hear, come on, boy, you know. And then every time, you know, something bad happens for us, they're mouthy. It just, you know, I don't know, man. Don't go to another stadium and show your ass. I mean, it's just not a smart thing. But
be gracious in winning as much as losing, right?
You know? Right, but it
easier said than done.
But it did feel so good to get that nail in the coffin with them, you know. And I won't say they were running their mouth, you know. They were just cheering, but man. It made the win sweeter because, I mean,
yeah.
Right.
So let's get into the game. I mean, so I was a little nervous when we started 3-and-out on offense, and I was just like, oh, shit, it's going to be one of those. And then Dallas just marches all the way down, and well, we did hold them to a field goal. But it's kind of like, all right, we couldn't do shit. We punt. They just walk down the field.
Well, the first drive was just that long pass. Behind Browner, but the defense did hold.
Yeah.
And actually, with two nice runs, too, they got on the first drive. Down the field.
Yeah, you're right. Yard run by Dunbar.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just seemed like, you know, defense play well, get them to a third and long, and then penalty. Mm. You know, so many penalties that extended drives, you know, so many on third down. I mean, you know, without those, I mean, this game could have been a blowout. Just
yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it
probably wouldn't have been, but it had the chance to. We let them in. They let them in the game with all these.
There were several penalties, right, that were kept drives alive for Dallas in the first half. Now in the second half, it kind of
balanced out.
Balanced out, but.
Well, Breeze had a pick or two that was wiped out by a penalty, so.
Thank goodness. He did.
Yeah, that was kind of nice.
Yeah, so let's get into that then. Breeze, and we had a few tweets. We're not going to put these in tweets and look at him tweets because we're going to talk about it now. Breeze's arm or shoulder, Damon, you were texting with me back and forth in the game. I was in denial, but have come to agree that I just feel like that shoulder had to still be injured. The shot that they gave him to come into the game maybe wore off at a certain point. Because he, on their first touchdown drive, he looked sharp. But then as the game wore on, he was making some kind of bad throws.
Well, you know, like you said, you and I were texting during the thing. And I think we were both right. You had mentioned that the offensive line wasn't giving him any time, which wasn't helping anything. But when he did have a little bit of time in the first half, yeah, it just looked to me he didn't have all of his throws. And what I mean he didn't have the deep ball. We never tried to go very deep, take a long shot. And the ball to the outside from inside the dome watching, and Jason, you were there, I was curious in your opinion, you know, it looked like they were floating. You know, they weren't getting there with that zip that he normally has.
No, and they didn't even attempt really any longer passes. I mean, the longest pass he threw of the game, obviously excluding the spiller, it wasn't a long pass per se. Right, he turned it into a long one, but was that pass to Coleman at the end of the fourth quarter? The one over the middle, that was his longest pass of the night, and it was, 20 yards? Maybe 25 yards?
And you knew that that last drive in the fourth quarter and then the drive in the overtime, he's probably paying for that today.
Yeah. But
he sucked it up, and good on him.
Right. I thought he looked better in the second half. And what I wrote in my notes, I said, you know, he probably got a shot at halftime because he was a little sharp. You know, he seemed a little sharper in the second half.
He looked rapey.
Oh, jeez.
But I think that also.
You see what I did there?
Right, and I'm going to hit 2 points here. We can, but see, I think that also hurt the running game because Dallas's defense didn't have to worry about us really taking a long shot or going down the field. What I, you know.
Uh huh.
So their defense was able to stay closer to the line of scrimmage. You know, and our bad offensive line play with Jari being out and then losing Armstead,
getting
you know.
Hurt and Zach Zdrief being absolute garbage.
Right. Well,
wow.
Hold on.
But all right, you're saying about the rushing game, though. We did rush for over 100 yards in the game.
Right. No, we stuck with it and we did well. But I mean, the time that was frustrating. But yeah, but look, Jeff, I text you during the game that I thought we would have been better off starting McNown.
You mean McCown? You said it last week, and I didn't correct you.
I want to make a montage of how many players' names Damon messes up.
he said McNown all week last week. And
What is it?
McCown.
It's McCown. There's no N until the end.
McVerb.
This isn't Cade McNown from the Bears. He's been out of football a long time.
Has he? Oh, whatever.
Name is Luke McPreposition.
There's even two McCowns. It's not like there's just one McCown. There's two.
His name isn't that important. I mean,
I even had a commercial. Still can't get his name right.
All right, but yeah, but I could see him the way he played last week. I don't think the outcome would have been much different. I don't know that he throws for 359 yards and two touchdowns.
Maybe just 340. But, I mean, you do have to question. I mean,
hit that C.J. Spiller at the end in the overtime? I mean, you know, that's that – part of that is that Drew Brees effect.
Well, Brees saw the defense and quickly, you know, got the play run and
– yeah, saw the mismatch.
Right. So that's definitely on Brees. It was just, man, and I've watched the video from different angles of the play like so many times today. Like, I can't get enough of it.
No.
I really can't get enough.
Well, what Drew had in the second half and without is he had touch on the ball. You know, it was just perfect
time as well.
Well, and he had time. It seemed like Dallas's defense.
A little tired.
Yes. It definitely seemed like that to me.
Well,
it
and that's what
their D-line got tired. Because our offensive line didn't get better. I refuse to say that.
No.
Hey, look, if you look on that last play, I mean, thank God Brees got rid of the ball because Streif got beat by his man again.
As is, of course, the tradition.
Chris Collins worthless, and then we're saying on the deal about last week, too, with Dallas. Dallas came out, and they had a 14-point lead twice in that game against Atlanta. But they even said, even before the second half even started, they were like, let's see if Dallas can hold on to whatever it is that they're doing with the Saints. Because, and that's when they referenced, last week they had a 14-point lead twice. And when they came out in the second half, it was like a completely different team. Dallas can't play in the second half. Either they're tired, they don't know how to make the adjustments, they have a piss-poor coach. They can't play for 60 minutes.
Well, look. Also, Dallas is missing their starting quarterback and number one wide receiver.
Yeah, and then they lost Dunbar in the middle of the game too, right?
And they lost Dunbar, and they lost Scott Lee, okay?
Sean
Lee, whatever.
Number two.
Look, first of all, we can't even lose that many good players because we don't have a number one wide receiver, okay?
No, we do. His name's Willie Snead.
Yeah.
Six catches for 89 yards.
You know, the graphic was out of how his playing time has increased as Coleman's has just
But Coleman caught a pass last night. He got it.
No, he did. That was a big play.
A wonderful catch, Brandon. Good job.
Well, look, I mean, that's how it happens. I mean, you know, you said that Snead's timing. Well,
right.
I mean, that's how it happened. You're playing well, you're going in. You suck. You're sitting on the bench. I mean, that's...
I don't know that Brandon Coleman's necessarily sucking. It's maybe that maybe he's being covered more and Snead's the open guy. I mean...
Well, it looks clearly Breeze is getting confidence in Snead to throw him the ball.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I'd have more confidence in Snead right now than Colston. Although Colston didn't fuck up last night. Good for you.
I only remember him being targeted once. He might have been targeted more, but I remember one catch. I don't...
He had four.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah. Cooks had four as well.
Still waiting to unleash the Cooks boner.
Yeah, but it seems like defense is a key in on him.
That's... I agree with you there, Jeff. That's what I...
It's not a Cooks problem. It's... They're putting their best guys on him.
Because they're right. Because they don't really worry about any of the other wide receivers. But.
I finally understood why we kept five running backs. Because we're not using receivers this year.
Well, Mark Ingram leads the team in catches.
Yeah, why not? C.J. Spiller was our leading receiver last night with five catches. 99 yards, obviously one of them. You know,
glorious.
Kind of a big one.
Yeah.
So Jeff and I now kind of agree that Breeze about his arm. What is your take, Jason?
It's not 100%.
Do you think it's fine next week? Or did last night's overtime and fourth quarter final drive put us over the top?
Well, no, come on. The overtime drive, it was a 15-yard pass that he floated to him. I mean, the overtime didn't...
That was nothing. Like,
He didn't do anything.
All right. Does last night's 41 attempts?
I mean, it seems like a lot, especially his first game back. You know, you'd think you'd like to try to save it a little bit. You know, help him with the run game didn't happen as well as we'd have liked. So, I mean, he's definitely going to play. He's not going to be 100%. He may not be 100% the rest of the season. And I don't know how.
Oh, don't tell me that.
I mean, it's true though. But, I mean, if this is something that. You know,
Is tradition, we don't know exactly what his injury is. You know, per Sean Payton, he has a shoulder.
Yeah, but you know what we do know? We played, it wasn't the easiest game to watch, and it felt cringeworthy at a lot of times. But when you look at it at the end of the day, 438 yards total offense.
Right.
Okay,
right.
103 rushing yards, 335 passing yards. He was 33 of 41 with 25 rushing plays. It was a lot of offense last night. A lot of offense.
I guess when you look at it that way, it's...
This team may not be as bad as the 0-3 start suggested. And if what we're saying is, I mean, while you guys were there, NBC kind of opened up saying, like, you know, especially on defensive snaps, the number of snaps of their first season that guys are taking, it added up. The Saints added up to 600 and some odd snaps already. That it's their first season, you know, a rookie.
Right, first actual action. Oh, yeah,
yeah.
We're playing a lot of
the next team in the league is in the 300s. We're twice as many as the next team. This, I mean, we've talked about a little bit on the show. I mean, saying this is a rebuilding year. This is absolutely rebuilding on the defense. And if what we say is right, that we're going to get better just simply by playing together, second half of this season, if the offense can gel a little more.
Brees arms doesn't fall off.
Yeah. Right. No, yeah.
You could be looking at, that's where we're going to win more of our games. I mean, we may start out 2-6.
Okay, calm down, Jeff.
We finished 6-2, though.
Calm down, Jeff. Okay,
and end up at 8-8.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean that. I mean, really, that's probably the kind of team we are this year. We're an 8-8 team this year,
right.
Unless they can get some breaks with turnovers, which they haven't really got yet.
Yeah, I'm not saying we're gonna go on a 13-0 tear at the end of the season, Damon. But
it'd be a lot cooler if you did.
No. But yes, I have been more impressed each week by the young defensive players. Kakaha and Anthony really looked they impressed me more every week, you know. Last night it was so good to get Keenan Lewis back.
But then he went right back out.
And then losing Keenan Lewis. Getting Bird back there, where he didn't seem to really seem to be out of place a lot.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
Personally, I don't know. Maybe it's just not what I'm seeing, but he seems to be out of fucking. Yeah.
No, no. I think like one of the first plays of the game, and maybe it was that long pass. Against Browner, where he was definitely not where he needed to be.
Yeah. So, and then on that touchdown to tie the game by Dallas on 4th and 7. I mean, he's
Yeah, it took a bad angle
away from, and it's like,
And it's going to take. Fortunately, it's going to take time from actually.
Well, he's gonna need real playing time.
And it's not like they were rotating him in and out. So not like he maybe played half the game, if that. I mean, mostly just on passing downs.
Right.
So it's going to be a gradual thing. It's going to take time. But man, 3 straight games with a sack for Kakaha. Anthony got his first one, and then I think Tyler Davidson got a sack.
Okay. I did not expect to see any sacks last night going into the game, just because of all the hype we hear about the Dallas Cowboys offensive line. It's supposed to be, the greatest in the league right now. So I wasn't expecting any pressures or anything, like that. But Richardson was fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of nice, though, to have the team played a little bit better with Akeem Hicks out of the picture.
Yes, it is. That was my point. Right. So it's a little work in progress. But, we're all happy now because we won last night and we beat Dallas. But we could just as easily be here sitting at 0-4.
That's why it's a good thing not to read Twitter during the game, because I tell you the funny thing is all these people who are singing praises and celebrating and hooting and hollering on Twitter were the same people that were ready to fire half the team and half the coaches in the first half of the game.
Right. Oh, look.
Or even at the end of the fourth quarter. I mean, such the wave of emotion.
Right.
Especially when we didn't get the.
Kick-a-ha.
Oh, yes. Kick-a-ha. That is my new laugh.
Please don't let it be.
Yeah, please don't.
No, there was at some point where even, and all I tweeted was, why not? And it wasn't to be doomsday or anything else. I can't remember what it was now. And that's the beauty of it, right? We get so wrapped up in the moment that the next day you don't even remember what the moment was.
Well, that's the beauty of football. That I don't believe that any other sport has. And I've talked about it on this show before, just especially being in the stadium. The utter highs and the utter lows, and then going back to the top of the mountain in a football game.
In 11
it's
seconds.
It's just so wonderful. I mean, that's why I go to the games. That's why I love football. We have a lead, with 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. We have 2 stupid plays, in my opinion. An incomplete pass to stop the clock, and then
running
out of bounds. Okay, and that happened backwards in how I said it. But anyway, so that makes you mad because you ran 24 seconds off the clock. You could have ran a buckle 6. Right. What are you doing here? And then Dallas drives down, and you stop them on third, and it's 4th and 7. It's 4th and 7, and you're like, okay, 4th down and 7. That's all you got to do is stop them from getting into the end zone. And then you let him in the end zone, and you're like, oh, you're at the bottom of the valley again. And then we get the ball, and we drive down there, and you're like, we're going to win.
All we got to do is kick a field goal.
Doink. And it's like, motherfucker.
And that's
valley again.
That's when I tweeted, why not? Of course.
I mean, that was like the scent, like when it doinks off, like just the – oh,
right. But that football, like you said, in those 4 minutes, you went high, low, high, low.
Overtime off super high.
Then overtime,
even overtime started off low with the when Kyrie Robinson dropped that low pass. You're like, oh, what are you doing?
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is overtime, man. You can't afford to do that shit. Oh, I thought the same thing. You can't afford to drop that. Oh, motherfucker. They're going to get the ball and kick a field goal.
And win the game.
And win the fucking game. That's all they needed, the fucking field goal.
Because this motherfucker can't catch the fucking ball.
Right.
Hey, wait, but this play?
Right. I mean, exactly. I remember you're like, son of a bitch. That's it. We're going 3 and out. they're going to kick a field goal and win it with a fucking field goal.
And then he passes to C.J. Spiller.
Right, C.J. Spiller.
Breaks the tackle. And when he breaks, the crowd knew it when he broke
the tackle. Oh, yeah, of course. So I was like, well, nobody's catching him.
Right, well, we can see, you know, when we're there in the dome, we can see no one has an angle on him. Mm-hmm. It's just that fat linebacker trying to catch probably the fastest guy on the field, you know, or the one, you know, and it ain't so happening.
Celebration, was it all that I dream it would have been? People jumping up and down, hugging strangers.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call it a celebration. It's more of just a fucking relief. You know? Just thank God we won this game against these assholes, you know?
I was so happy to finally get to take my jersey off and sport the W shirt. It's been way too long.
Oh, that's true.
You know, and again, all the Dallas fans being there, you know.
Before we move on to our next segment, there's something about that overtime touchdown that becomes a little bit more meaningful, or makes it more meaningful.
It was Drew Brees' 400th TD, and also made him the quickest quarterback to get to 400.
In game wise or number?
Yeah, games. I think game wise, maybe like 3 or 4 games faster than Pate.
And what a beautiful highlight for that one to be.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Again, and it's C.J. Spiller of all people. You know, I'm laughing because, you know, I remember the Devery pass on. What was that record against Atlanta?
That was breaking Johnny Unitas' all time.
And wasn't that against San Diego? It wasn't against Atlanta.
Atlanta was a yard record, wasn't it?
Right. That was when he. That was
the one where we were accused of just going for the record.
Oh, that's the what he threw it to Sproles maybe in the Atlanta game.
Oh, maybe so. Yeah.
In 2011, yeah.
Yeah, because Devery might not have even been on the team at that point.
No, he was.
Okay. Oh, so many records, I can't keep track of them.
No, you know, it is wonderful having a QB that does have so many records. I mean, it is.
Well, on top of that, he got 5,000 completions. He got that last night, too. He's only the third guy to do that.
Right. I mean, look, the man is a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, because he's made with Marino, Brady, Manning, Favre. I mean, just all Hall of Famers. Mm-hmm. It is so wonderful. And God knows, look, y'all know I have no problems calling
bashing
Drew
him
out
in the head with a Jimmy John sandwich.
Calling Drew out off the field. But I've told y'all before, and I'm in fans, I mean, it is so wonderful to have a QB. Even injured. Now, I don't know if Luke McCown would have won the game or not. But I do know Drew Brees did win the game.
That's all you can go on. So congratulations, Drew, on your 400th touchdown pass and your 5,000th please.
There's one play at the beginning of the fourth quarter. Y'all remember when the receiver, his left foot, you know, stepped out of bounds. And then he brought the left foot back into bounds, caught the ball. He was tackled 1 yard short. And they threw the penalty for going out of bounds.
Illegal touch pass.
Illegal
touching.
But, you know, shouldn't that have been just a non – shouldn't that just be a non-catch?
I mean, that's
– no, if you go out of bounds and then come back in and touch the ball, that is a penalty. And
right.
That's what he did.
We had to accept the penalty, and they got the down back, didn't they?
Correct. Yeah, exactly. That's my point.
Because the penalty is a loss of down. Sean Payton had a choice.
No, it wasn't.
No, a penalty was not a loss of down.
The penalty was not a loss of down.
I mean, that's what I mean. Yeah, the penalty is minus yards, repeat the down.
Right.
Sean Payton made the choice to accept.
Well,
and
well, because if he didn't, it would have been 3rd and 1.
Right.
It wouldn't have made any sense.
No, 4th and 1. It would have been 4th and 1, and he chose to do 3rd and 9 versus 4th and 1.
You're right.
It's the right call.
It would have been 4th.
Yeah,
and,
I agree.
Well, he had to accept the penalty. You're right. It would have been 4th and 1.
And they could have gone for it.
At a point on the field where a punt doesn't make any sense, you might be a little too far away to draw a field goal. So, correct. You go for it.
Right.
You know?
But Damon, I see what you're saying. Is like it shouldn't have even been allowed to be a catch.
It,
like,
right, it should have been a no catch.
If it's a legal catch, it's like, well, that's not a catch.
Oh, so you're saying it should have been 4th and 4.
Correct.
Right, right.
Correct. That's a rule I think they need to change.
Right.
It's a no catch, loss of down.
Are you saying because it's an uncatchable ball, but he
caught
it?
If it's an illegal catch, why are you going to give him the catch if we decline the penalty? Like, it's stupid.
Exactly.
Mm. Okay. So you're saying you go out of bounds if you touch the ball. It's not a penalty. It's just didn't happen.
It's a no catch. Right, right. You can't be the first person to touch the ball, is the rule, after going out of bounds.
Right.
So if you go out of bounds and then you catch the ball, it's not a catch because you're not eligible. You're not an eligible receiver. So it doesn't matter. It didn't happen. You know, you get what I'm saying?
I do.
Instead of having to make a decision like we did last night.
Yeah, I think I'd like to poll the listeners. What do you think, fellas? I mean, should it be a penalty or should it be a no play?
You know, where.
Tell us.
Where it was a penalty and that actually helped Dallas because they just got the down back. Now, yes, it was 5 yards further, but they got an extra down.
Right. So I could see an argument being made for both sides. So the other thing I did want to bring up, speaking of crazy penalties, is the using the ball as a prop penalty on, was it Kyrie Robinson?
Yeah, it was Kyrie.
For his touchdown celebration?
Which is, it's, I want to say funny. I think somebody else did the exact same thing in a game yesterday.
And no penalty.
No. The penalty was definitely called.
Oh.
I think it was that cornerback for the Panthers who ran back another one, Norman, I think he did the same thing and got flagged for it.
Okay.
Earlier in the day.
So one of the best tweets I saw was somebody saying, like, okay, so the NFL takes care and cares more for their balls than they do the players.
Of course.
Well, they got to make sure they're inflated, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. It's just fucking stupid.
Well, I mean, it's not surprising. The NFL's been like this for a while. You know, look, and he knows better than that. Yeah. Don't fucking do that shit.
Well, yeah, but it reminds me of the Key and Peele skit of the celebration that Lance Moore actually did mimic one time when he scored a touchdown. You remember?
And he got flagged too.
With the pelvis thrust?
Yeah.
It's like, you can do two, but you can't do three. That's great. Anyway, that's going to move us on into Look at Him Tweets.
Hey.
All right, so we got a lot of them, so let's get run through these. This one's coming in from, I'm going to go with Josu Caro. I almost want to say Jose Cuervo, but it's Josu Caro. And the question is, doesn't it feel like Dalvin Bro is committing a whole lot of silly penalties while covering a wide receiver?
Yeah. Definitely. He got flagged for another 2 or 3 last night. And it's all just either hands to the face or... He's very handsy-feely with the receivers.
He's a non cornerback.
I mean, he really is a perverted cornerback. You know, he's all over him. Can't keep his hands off of him.
Well.
And maybe that's something he's going to have to learn. Is
that compensation for anything?
I mean, it's...
That's just how they taught it at St. Aug. Or where did he play? McDonough 35.
It's just lack of real NFL... experience. I mean, he's got to learn to cut that shit out.
Okay, maybe.
I mean, otherwise he plays fairly. You know, he does a decent job covering receivers, but when he gets beat, he has a tendency to reach his arms out, and that gets him in trouble.
Yeah. Anybody remember anything that Damian Swan did? By the way, good, bad, ugly, and
I think he had a penalty somewhere.
I don't remember him being called.
It's all.
But those penalties, like you're talking about. I mean, that's a coaching thing.
And just with the penalties, with the timing of these penalties, so many, you know, like if the penalty doesn't get committed, then Dallas has to punt. We get the ball back. Instead,
right.
They drop
down
the field.
Down.
All right, so let me ask you this. Would you rather Dalvin Bro's 3 penalties for being handsy or Corey White, Patrick Robinson, not even being in the vicinity?
Corey White plays for Dallas now. He had a penalty last night.
As his tradition.
For what?
Not being on the field when he should have been?
I'll be honest. I don't
even notice. Was... He was called for running out of bounds without being forced.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. That's
on the kick.
There you go.
Good old Corey White.
Yeah. All right. Next tweet comes from Glenn Fitz. How bad is Sproles gonna torch the Saints next week?
Hopefully he's not.
Yeah. The fuck is this coming from, Glenn?
Although I mean, look, he does know that our special teams coordinator is still Greg McMahon, so I guess it's still possible. But, I mean, Philly is such a mess. I'm just hoping, I mean, if the Saints can get out to any kind of quick start and just get the crowd all pissed off and just have them fall apart. I mean, it could go south really quickly.
So, next tweet comes in from Peachy Keen. which is also known as Be More Who Dat. Changed his Craig in Baltimore changed to Peachy Keen. Question is, does Hawker, speaking of, make you long for the days of Grammatica?
Nope. Thank you.
Well, I mean, something coming out of that, too, is I mean, we don't know what Morstead's status is going to be. But he didn't come back and kick and punt in the second half. Old Hawker, had to make the punt.
And he made a pretty good punt.
That was a pretty good punt, I got to say. I was not expecting that. That's a damn good punt.
Well, you look, these kickers, you know, be it a punter or a place kicker, they don't really practice, you know, during football practice. They just sit there and fuck around, you know? And so they go, hey, you want to kick the ball? Yeah, I kick the ball, you know? You want to punt? Yeah, I punt, you know? I mean, you know, they're sitting there just goofing off with one another, really. So it doesn't surprise me that a kicker can punt or a punter could kick, you know? Yeah. Maybe not as well as the other, no doubt, but that they can definitely, you know, in a pinch.
So everybody's going to be in the moment, but hey, maybe he got right. distracted by shirtless guy last night, huh? How about that?
All right, so our last tweet comes from Swamp Pop at Drink Swamp Pop, which is actually a soda pop company in Lafayette. So, hey, Swamp Pop, we would love to get some free samples of your beverage. Maybe we can talk about a bit of a sponsorship opportunity here. But they are sold at Rouse's. Swamp Pop asked, when Lewis is 100% healthy, are Lewis and Browner our starting cornerbacks, or has Bro earned a starting job?
I think Bro, yeah, I think.
Yeah, yeah, you have to put Bro over Browner. Browner Bro, can't guard shit.
Bro's over hoes.
And that's going to lead us into our NFL reach around. All right, so the only story I have to talk about, let's make it quick here, is the Dolphins fire Regis Philbin.
As their Regis Philbin? You mean the guy from Regis the Kathy Lee?
Yeah.
Holy shit!
The fact that you still
you mean
Regis
you
and Kathy Lee shows your range.
You mean Joe?
Yes, Philbin? Of course.
Oh, yo, you did that on purpose.
Yes!
I gotta say, I look great!
And the worst part is half our listeners won't even get it.
Google Dana Carvey, Regis Philbin. There you go.
So, yeah, so it didn't another two? What team fired their head coach on the way home from London last year?
Oakland. Allen. And here he is right on our sideline.
Oh, that's right.
Why the coach coming from? But Oakland's terrible at that. Remember, they did the same thing to Lane Kiffin. They after a loss, they wouldn't let him get on the bus.
but the idea is that you go to London, you lose, and you don't have a job when you come back. If I tell you this much, if I don't want the Saints to ever play in London, we talked about this last week.
Today was the day they were supposed to, the Dolphins took their team pictures.
Oh, that's right.
So,
what do you think they're like? And Philbin's like, where should I stand? They were like, why don't you go stand over there? No,
further.
Keep going.
Further.
Right.
Further.
That's how. That's how they told him.
But I mean, you know that Miami was a team that had a lot of hype coming in, and words coming out that players have quit on them. Then there was news that came out today that the practice squad guys kept picking off Tannehill and practicing. He was getting pissed off. So Philbin said, hey, guys, take it easy on him. Totally uninspired team.
And then you go back a couple years ago and you had Bullygate. Mm-hmm. You know.
I was under him, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the coach then. And,
yeah, so that didn't.
I mean, it's just now your whole – I mean, think about it. Your whole season is now done when you really should have fired this guy after last season.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to fire him now, why didn't you fire him?
They've put talent on that team.
They just went out and paid $100 million to Tomek and Sue.
$100?
$100 million.
$100 a minute.
$100
a second. Well, but again, the what you just alluded to, right, I mean, it's basically a mutiny. Mm-hmm. You know, that he lost the locker room. He lost the team.
Like, how shitty of a coach do you have to be that your team mutinies on you?
It's shitty in what way? I don't think his football knowledge necessarily has to be shitty. But
no, it's
kind of like
he's not a leader.
It's kind of like Jim Haslett with the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Haslett did not have control of that locker room.
Right.
That's why they were a literally mediocre 8-8. That's all that squad was. Where we did have talent back then, I believe.
Because he didn't walk in the locker room.
A little better.
I'm the fucking
better
coach.
Team.
You sit your fucking ass down, and this is how things are going to operate. It's how Sean Payton came into this team. And, that's what it reminds me of. So before the game, and this worries me, and I hate that I think this. NBC aired a pregame interview with Sean Payton where they talked about him, and they asked him about how Bountygate, if it affected him and his coaching style and all this.
He's like, yes, I don't have my nuts anymore.
Almost. The way he answered is he said, you know, I look at the, you know, to look at the positive side of how things, he said, yes, it affected me. And yes, it affected how I approach coaching. And he talked about coaching his son's junior high team. And he talked about how, you know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, we had a 6-play playbook, and he was just the way he reminisced on it. And
I think we're still using that playbook.
Yeah, the look in his eyes and the way he talked about coaching at that level, you know, at a different level of that. I walked away from watching that interview with that's where his heart is now. He had a taste of something a little more pure. And I think the way Bountygate really neutered him was that I don't know that his heart is in as strongly in what it needs to be in order to coach an NFL team.
Especially when, look, it cost him his marriage.
It cost him how much?
Well, football. You mean football cost him his marriage?
Right.
But we don't know.
We don't know what cost him his marriage.
I don't know exactly, but I mean, you know, the time that these guys have to put in and the dedication that they have to be successful
is
like that.
Definitely tough on all right.
And think about it. I've won a Super Bowl now. I've accomplished the greatest, you know, thing that you can accomplish as an NFL head coach. And I now had a taste of something more pure. I mean, we've heard that kind of a story told. I wonder – I walked away from watching that interview, and if you guys can find a way to watch that interview, tell me if you feel the same way after watching it. But I feel like the way he came out talking about what he did during Bountygate, that's he lost his edge. Not because he's scared, not because he's neutered, but because he found happiness at a much more pure –
obviously coaching his son's high school team – there's a lot less pressure than playing in the NFL. Okay?
A little bit.
There's a lot less scrutiny going on there. He doesn't have reporters up his tail, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, yes, I'm sure he looked back to that. That was a fond situation, and he was glad he was able to do it. But I've said this about guys like Sean Payton.
Kind of money.
about guys like Nick Saban. They are success. Guys like Drew Brees. They are successful because of that fucking drive to win and to be better.
Well, when I watched that interview, that's the part I felt like I was missing. I feel like I saw a guy who, I got mine, I'm good, I don't have the drive anymore.
Well, I would just say by the...
Watch the interview.
A couple of, you know, because of how we've gotten rid of players that we... But at least the Saints believe that they were locker room
cancers
problems,
sure,
right?
Sure.
You know, I believe that here that Sean Payton is still that.
I think he still cares.
Yeah,
I'm not saying he doesn't care. I'm saying he's. I think he's trying to find his own passion back. I think he lost his passion, but I think he wants to get it back.
These rookies, young rooks, are helping him get it back a little bit.
And I think a 30-year-old Miss Virginia takes some of the – you're a little bit happy, you know?
All right, moving on to pick'ems.
you need to explain your executive decision?
No.
Okay. So apparently there was an executive decision that was made by these two idiots.
Now it's making it into the show.
Right.
That's true. Explain it. Make sure you understand it.
Because we like points, and the NFL likes points, and this is a fun game, any game that ends up in a push, you get a win no matter who you picked.
So the Baltimore-Pittsburgh
game. Baltimore-Pittsburgh game this weekend was a push, so everybody wins. Hooray.
You get a win. You get a win. You get a win.
Well, wait a second. Do they know why we've changed, why we've had to make
doesn't
that
matter.
Change?
It doesn't matter.
Well, no, but it does matter.
It doesn't matter for
because
the
Damon
show.
Bitched about it in text. That's why I got you.
No, because of the way Jason had made an executive decision.
We made it together just
give,
because you weren't here.
To give the dog an extra point.
That being said, Jason, tell us who is winning Pick'em.
Out of the three of us, you're at 13-7, Damon's at 12-8, and I'm at 8-12.
That's all I needed to hear. Now, among the larger group, I am actually still in first place, 13-7. And at 12-8 is Glenn, Alex, Wheels, and Damon. And then Hungry Hoodat with 11-9. Dad the Twins is 10-9 because he missed a game.
Yeah, I was going to say, fuck, in the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game, that's the game, Thursday night game, it doesn't matter who he would have picked. He would have got a win anyway. So just give it to him. Anybody who missed it, because I stupidly put another Thursday game on, even though we said we weren't going to.
So he's 11.
That's on me.
So he's 11-9. Dad,
there you go. Give him a win.
Free win. There you go.
Trying to be nice here.
All right. Everybody else, you know, win more games if you want to get mentioned. Jason, go on with them.
All right. Cool. Interesting slate of games. This is our first game. Intriguing little matchup here. The St. Louis Rams coming off a win against the Cardinals at the Green Bay Packers. Of course, coming off a win against San Francisco.
Green Bay.
Not a dominating performance. What?
Green Bay.
You already picked Green Bay.
I don't care. Green Bay.
Green Bay.
This game is in Lambeau, and Green Bay,
Green Bay.
Is favored by 9.5.
Whoa. Green Bay.
9.5. Damon, you really are taking Green Bay?
Yeah, Green Bay. St. Louis can only play the NFC West.
Yeah, I'm with Damon. I'm going to go with Green Bay.
Please. Jason Tate.
You know he will.
Oh,
give me the Rams. Give me the Rams.
Yeah! That's a win for us.
He's like the Saints of the NFC South.
this is my year. This is my year. What can I say?
He's the Saints of picking. Huh?
Right. All right.
All right, our next game. The Seattle Seahawks, fresh off a 13-10 win against the Lions that just ended, at the 4-0 Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals coming off another win. They just keep rolling, looking pretty impressive so far because it's not the playoffs. This game's in Cincinnati, and the Bengals are favored by 1 point. And I'll go first. I'll take the Bengals. Seattle can't play on the road.
You know what? I am going to stay with Jason here. No, I'm going Seattle.
Yeah, I'm going to go Seattle too.
Excellent.
Wow. And once again, we just don't pick with Jason.
Well, I mean, why would you? He's 8-11.
Right. I'm 8-12, buddy.
Oh.
Right. I mean, this might be the week he does a lot of catching up because, again, I mean.
That's a tough call. I mean, you're basically saying Seattle's going to lose on the road.
Right, which is an easy call to make for Jason, I think, right? Because, I mean, so far, they're 2-2 now, if I'm not mistaken.
2-0 at home, 0-2 on the road.
But I gotta feel that. I hate to say this about Seattle, but they're not. They didn't lose enough talent. I mean, they were in the Super Bowl last year.
Lose their offensive line, Jason's correct, they're bad, and Jimmy Graham does not help Seattle.
All right, our next game, the Chicago Bears getting their first win of the year against the Raiders at the Kansas City Chiefs coming off another loss where amazing.
What's up with Kansas City?
Andy Reid is their coach. That's what's wrong with them. I mean, they were down.
What's up with that?
They were down multiple scores, and yet they kicked a field goal like late in the fourth quarter. Like, why even bother? They kicked 7 field goals in the game. The aforementioned Cairo Santos that we mentioned earlier kicked 7 field goals. And they lost 36-21. I mean, it's Andy Reid for you. The Chiefs are somehow favored by 9.5.
Mm.
Oh, God.
Let me tell you why they're favored by 9.5.
Games
because
Kansas
of net points. It's because Chicago's net points on the year is minus 57. The Chiefs are minus 25. Therefore, the Chiefs are capable of staying close to their opponents.
Well, no, we're not. 9 points isn't what you would consider close in an NFL game.
Well, yeah, that and Chicago had a fire sale.
So the Chiefs are minus nine.
9.5.
Minus 10.
Minus 10. Now, is that real 9.5?
That's
that
real 9.5.
I got to take Chicago in this one.
Ooh.
I'm taking Chicago also while Damon is texting somebody.
I'll take Chicago.
All right, next.
All right, next game. The Arizona Cardinals at the Detroit Lions. Arizona coming off a surprising loss to St. Louis this week. That was their first loss of the season.
It was surprising.
Detroit coming off a heartbreaking end of the game in Seattle tonight. Had a chance to take the lead late. Megatron fumbled. This game's in Detroit, and Detroit is getting 3 points.
I'm going to take Arizona.
Yeah, this goes against my home dog rule, but I'll take Arizona also. Look, I mean, the Rams beating them, they're the division rivals. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so
yeah,
I don't look at that loss like they lost to an inferior team, even though they did. But they're rivals. They're in division. You're kind of built to beat one another. At least that's the way you're supposed to do it. So, yeah, I like Arizona.
All right, I'm going to go Arizona also.
Yeah, you will.
All right, and now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go. Piece of shit card. I got a piece of shit card. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My card.
This game is a battle of two in-state teams.
Ah. It must be in Jacksonville, Tampa Bay.
There you go.
Ooh.
Jacksonville at Tampa Bay.
Ooh.
Jacksonville coming off a close overtime loss to the Matt Hasselbeck-led Colts, while Tampa Bay just blood at home against in the rain, Jameis Winston throwing multiple picks. And yet Tampa is favored by 3.
So I can take Jacksonville and get 3 points? I'll do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Jacksonville.
Yeah. For the first time, I think, ever in Pick'em Six history.
Who's taking Jacksonville?
We're all taking Jacksonville here. Yeah. Tampa Bay's that bad. And Jacksonville's not as bad as they have been for the past 12 years.
Well, they're still 1-3.
So are we.
All right, and that's Pick'ems.
All right, I'm going to forego final thoughts, but before that, of course, we always have Saints Preview! Let's see what it did there. All right, so the Saints play the Philadelphia Schmeagles next week. This game is in Philadelphia at 12 o'clock Central Time, right?
As far as I know.
So Saints come in as the 6th-ranked offense versus the Eagles' 21st-ranked defense. Everybody thought that Chip Kelly's offense would usher in a new era of yardage and points scored in the NFL, and they currently rank 30th in the NFL. So if our shitty defense is ever gonna look good, it should be this week against Philadelphia. Guys, what are your thoughts on the game?
The good news is, and like I mentioned it earlier, if the Saints can get off to a hot start, Philly's crowd is gonna turn on them fast, and that can only be a good thing for us. I mean, Sam Bradford did have some stats last week, but they couldn't even beat a bad Washington team. So a lot of problems over there in Philly. Defense struggling, offense struggling. DeMarco Murray's mad because he's not getting the ball. Chip Kelly's wizardry is kind of run out of magic here.
Well, fuck Chip Kelly. I didn't like him when he was in fucking Oregon. He's a gimmick. fuck him. DeMarco Murray, fuck him. He was never that good anyway. He's not an Emmitt Smith, Adrian Peterson. He was a product of what Dallas had in front of him. He sucks. And Sean Payton's a much better head coach. So, Jason, you're correct. I would love to see us get up on him early. I just don't think we can, unfortunately. You know, I think it'll be the what's become a typical Saints game this year. It's going to be a close game. And it was last week with Philly and Washington. It's going to be a close game, and the last team with the ball is going to have to make a play to win.
It's going to be the story of every game yeah. we play this year, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see what, you know, how Bree's shoulder, you know, recovers this week, and if we try to take a few more downfield shots with the ball, or if we just stay conservative and kind of dink and dunk all over the field.
I think we'll dink and dunk it.
Dink and dunk, that's Todd Bourgeois' famous term from last night.
I mean, I'd love to see the running game get going. I mean, how much longer do you think Peyton's going to stick with Streif? If he struggles again this week like he did,
I don't know what we have behind him. I don't.
I mean, it would be Pete. Pete can't be that bad, can he?
I mean, to get beaten by his man on every play. I don't know. I mean, how? I don't think he can be worse. I mean, yo.
Yeah, I don't think it's a statement on Streif being a bad player. I just think age has caught up with him, right?
He's currently a bad player because yeah, he's currently a bad player. And caught up
right,
with him.
Right. But you know what I mean. It's not we're
Arnold
not
Palmer used to be
his
Arnold?
Whole life, and we never should have had right. Zach Streif. What we're saying yeah. is, thank you for your service. You've done great, but it's time to move on.
Right, Arnold Palmer at one time was the greatest golfer in the world. Now Jason could beat him.
Right. All right. So final score
predictions.
Yeah. Final score predictions.
Well, I mean, you know, it's funny. A lot of optimism after winning just that game against Brandon Whedon.
Saints 42
at home. You tell. Although, look, we all did pick the Saints to win this past week.
We did. You damn right. Yeah. That's because we believe. It's because we.
So I think Philly's struggles continue. I think their players might be starting to turn on their coach a little bit.
I think my score prediction was 26-20, wasn't it?
I don't. It might have been check yep. the tape. I guess.
Sure will.
You know, our rookies continue to play a little better. We mix in a little more Bird, a little more Ellerby, a little more Lewis. And I'm going to say
we didn't
Saints,
even talk about that Ellerby being in the game.
I mean, again, he was all these guys were kind of situational. They're just kind of – but I'm going to go with
27-22. Good pick, Jay. I'm going to say if you – every week we've scored more points than the week before. Never scored less. We were 19-19, whatever, in 28. So I say we're going to break that 30 mark at 31. And we can keep – the Smeagles to a 23. So 31-23 New Orleans.
I think we held Dallas to 20, and they're a better offense even without Romo and Dez Bryant than the Eagles are with whoever they want to have. So I agree that we break the 30 mark. I like that progression in the offense stat, especially with Willie Snead emerging as our number one wide receiver. And C.J. Spiller. He's good for an 80-yard touchdown.
Well, again, hopefully we'll get another, you know, we'll continue to see increases in his workload a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't expect our wide receiver positions to perform much, but I do expect our running backs to get at least 300 yards in receptions.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm going to go 31-20.
Can we get an interception, please? I mean,
I'll take a turnover. I mean, we.
I mean, I get you right. Any kind of turnover, but we don't have any interceptions on the season. I don't think.
But I'd like a turnover kind of at an opportune moment. I don't want one on the 40. I want a turnover when Philadelphia is really close to their own
the ball.
Line. We're going to forego final thoughts due to the length of the show once again, and that is all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, windless donkeys.
Good night, Hootat Nation.
calling us sellouts and not taking a joke. Talking shit, covering us with spit. We're so glad. So lucky to have you there. We